brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, it talks about Abram, which we all know is who Abraham, okay? You know that Abram and Sarai, God changed their names to Abraham and Sarah. So in Genesis chapter 12, we're going to be talking about a few things about surrendering our lives to Him wholeheartedly. You know, when we first got saved, and probably every one of us could remembers the day that you got saved. I mean, you know, and when I talk about saved, that means born again, when you gave your life to Him. And really, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what you were doing, really, what we were doing, was surrendering our lives to Him. We were saying, Lord, I've made a mess of things. And I need some help. We've made some messes. But we're saying, you know, Lord, I made a mess of things and I need help. And I acknowledge that You are the Savior of the world, that You died upon the cross. You were born, You died upon the cross. You died for my sins. And now You're seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And what we were doing was we were surrendering to Him. You see? Because you see, there's a boundary that God has set up for Himself that He will never override the will of a human being. Never. Sometimes I wish He would. But God has set for Himself certain boundaries that He will not step over. Because you see, He wants us to freely honor Him and freely serve Him because of our love towards Him and surrendering every part of our being unto Him and letting Him do what He wants to do continuously in our hearts and lives. And so we had to surrender. And we did that X amount of years ago or X amount of days ago, whatever, however amount of time. I remember exactly where I was, the date, not the time, but I can put it close to when I gave my heart to the Lord. That same willingness that we had at the beginning of our salvation, of surrendering to God, is the same spirit that God is requesting of us and God wants from us as we go on with our Christian walk with Him. The same surrender, that spirit of surrendering. Now, we have more knowledge of the Lord now. I mean, honestly, I had zero about Him, basically. I mean, that's all of us, almost. But now that we've gained knowledge, we have to surrender and keep that humbleness of heart before Him. Because it says in Scripture that He rejects the proud, but gives what? Grace unto the humble that surrender before Him. And we have to keep ourselves under that surrendering unto Him. That's why every morning or every day it's very important that we take the time to come before Him and worship Him. It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and all the rest. But our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be, worshiping him and honoring him. And what we're saying is, Lord, I need you. Lord, I request of you this day. Lord, I need your presence as we surrender to him. Because you see, he only can speak to a person that is willing to listen. You ever been around somebody, and we've all been on both sides because we've all been there. You're talking to somebody and they know it all. I mean, they know it all. I mean, they know everything about every subject, about everything. And you look at them for a while and you're going, oh. And you're hurrying up trying to stop this conversation because you want to go. And probably when I said that, you thought of a name. But you know, we've probably been on both sides of that. Probably people have come to us and they thought the same thing. And I know it all. But we don't know it. And that's a pride issue. That's a pride and arrogance issue. Now, that doesn't mean God wants us to be ignorant. God wants us to have knowledge of his word, knowledge of things. But that same surrendering of spirit that we had at the beginning of our walk with God is the same surrendering spirit that we need to have as we continue our daily walk with him in the morning, in the afternoon, or at nighttime. That's why it's so important as we come before the Father, we surrender to him and we open up that word and we say, Lord, show me something today. Feed my spirit, Lord God. See, we do not serve a dead God. We serve a God that is alive and well and is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Father is alive and well. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. And what he's trying to do is feed his people his word, his spirit, his anointing, his power. But it can only happen as we surrender to him and we allow him to feed us. You know, as you know, we all had kids, you know, we can only fix the food and put it on the table, but we can't make them eat it. Well, years ago they made them. No. But, you know, for the most aspect of things, you can't make them eat it. But you can fix the food and have it before them. Or have it before us. But as a parent, you can't make, you know, can't make them eat it, you know. That's just like God. He can't make us eat of his word. He can't make us eat of the Holy Spirit. He can't make us eat of the presence of God. My God, people, this morning, the presence of God filled this place. We don't realize that as most people gathered this morning, it's just a religious function. They all do different things, but most of it's just a religious function of coming together. Well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm whatever. But God is so far from it. And I'm sure not saying we're better than anybody, because we're not. But we trust in him in who we know. We trust in the cross of Calvary and what he's done at that cross to give us our daily food spiritually that we need, to give us the health and the anointing and the spirit of God that dwells in us, to stir us up, that as we surrender to him, the power and the presence of God. That's God. But here we see, in Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, look at this. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred, your family, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them who bless you, who curse you, and curse him who curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here we see Abram. You know, this man, growing up in an idol-worshipping family. Abram. Or Abraham. We'll say Abraham for time's sake. We all know Abraham. But Abraham grew up where they, even his family, as you could look at other books, where they made idols for people. That's what he grew up in. And somehow the Holy Spirit, somehow the presence of God got a hold of his heart. And he married Sarah. And God comes to him one day and he says, Abraham, look at verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of your country. Now that's kind of hard there. Get out of your country. Here, can you imagine growing up in a place for so long, being there, part of the community, growing up there, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord tells him, put yourself in his shoes, get out of this place. See, God knew what needed to happen. A separation, as it says in the scripture. A separation of him and this nation. To take him out of this place. But could he have done it if he hadn't surrendered his heart and life to God? Some things that God may require of his people are not easy. But God knew what was best for him. God knew what was best for him. And it says that God called him out of his country, out of his kindred, a separation, and even from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Now, can you imagine? God says, Abram, get out of this place. Well, okay, Lord, where you want me to go? Well, I'll show you the land. When God tells us something, we believe it, but we want to know from the beginning, from 1 to 10. And Lord, don't leave out 5. And you better not leave out 6 either. And I want to know 10. But I'm telling you people, we live by what the Spirit of the Lord tells us. And what he speaks to us as separation unto him. God will speak things to you. And start out with number 1. And as you walk a little ways, God will show you number 2. And as you walk a little ways, God will show you number 3. And you might make a few little mistakes here or there. Who hasn't? But I tell you what, stay on that track of separation before him. Stay on that track of surrendering to your God. And God will open up things to you. Let me tell you, Abraham and Sarah were the foundations of the Christian church. A nation, talking about Israel, or the nation of the Christian world. My God. And yes, we can see they made some mistakes. Remember when they went into the land, another land, and Abraham told his wife, look, because you're beautiful. And that's great. He was thinking his wife was beautiful. I mean, that's a good thing. But he said, when we go in here, you're not my wife. You're my sister. Which was half truth. She was half his sister. That's truth. But that wasn't the whole truth. And the whole truth is a lie. And they went in, and all of a sudden things started happening to Pharaoh at that time. And he came in a vision, and God spoke to him and said, this is not his sister, this is his wife. And what the devil was trying to do was divert what God wanted to do in bringing in the Messiah into the world. Can you imagine if God, and let me tell you, we might think, oh Lord, Abraham, I can't believe the father. You know, we sing that song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I mean, we were all Catholic, just about. That was one of our songs. I mean, you know, we had it. He was the father of the Christian world. And here he was deceiving Pharaoh, he thought. And he thought he could get away with his lie. But let me tell you, even when we think we can get away with something, God will make sure we don't. And thank God, the destruction that could have came to Abraham and Sarah. Because look, they wanted to take Sarah as his wife. And if it wouldn't have been for God intervening in a vision and in dreams, coming to him at night, she would have been his wife or one of them. But God in his mercy and grace, even when we mess up some things, people, God can still come in and make it right. Oh, get it. Even when we mess up things, God can still come in and make it right. As we surrender to him, as we surrender to him. You know that song, I Surrender All to Jesus. You know, great song. One of the Christian favorites, hymns. I surrender all unto him. Abraham made some mistakes. But God saw his heart. And this is what the devil will try to tell you when you make some mistakes, that God won't forgive you. And that's not truth. Absolutely not. Now, we don't get up every day saying, I'm not going to serve God. We get up every day saying, Lord, I'm going to serve you to the best of my ability. Father, I come before you. And Lord God, I surrender every part of my being unto you, Lord. And we look to the Father as our faith is in Christ and him alone. Just as Abraham did. His faith was in the Father and what the Father would do. And he made some mistakes. But the Father came in. You see, the difference is this. Paul said this, I preach Christ and him crucified. And it's the amazing thing, when we first gave our hearts to the Lord, we trusted in him and what he could do. And sometimes as our path goes on as Christians, we divert from that truth. But it's that truth that keeps us close to the Father. And it's that truth that keeps us, that keeps the Father in line as far as working for our good. It's him. And so here we see, as we trust in him, we may be gone, because you have to understand, we live in a human body that has been polluted by the sin nature. It has been. And the only thing that can bring in correction is the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And that's the two things that the devil doesn't want you to have. He doesn't want you to know the Word of God, the true Word of God. And he doesn't want the Spirit of God to be evident in our hearts and lives and in our church services. He doesn't want it. I'm talking about true Spirit of the Lord. Not all the stuff that goes on. The true presence of God filling a place. And when he does that, when the Spirit of God comes into a place, the Spirit of God moves. It's good to have you here, sir. When the Spirit of God comes into a place, there's liberty and freedom. That's why God was speaking to Abraham. Surrender unto him. Surrendering unto him his will. And here we see as Abraham and Sarah, when God told him, depart, as it says in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Depart from this place and go to a land that I will show you. That took faith to believe. Faith to believe. Faith to believe. Faith to believe. Can you imagine God saying, take up everything you have? Because Abraham, was a very rich man. Everything he had. And the Lord God says, I'll bless you. Go to a land which I will show you. That's faith. We need to surrender every aspect of our lives unto our God. Because as we do so, the presence and the blessings of God. He surrendered his native land. He surrendered his family. He surrendered those things unto the Lord. Every surrender to God brought increase in spiritual wealth. Every time Abraham surrendered his life unto God in different aspects, a greater anointing and greater presence of God was upon him. You know, how many times as we're going through things, from the time we got saved and gave our hearts to the Lord, as we are going through things in our hearts and lives, as we surrender to him, you know, God has a lot of things in our hearts that he has to get rid of. Many of us have been hurt very severely when we were young. Things happened that only God can heal. God has to help us forgive. God has to help us to get through some things, some dark times in our lives. But as we surrender every aspect of our lives unto him, you can expect a greater anointing and presence of God upon your life and upon your heart. That's what God can do. 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 It says that song, as I reverted to earlier, I surrender all to him. I surrender all unto him. God is looking for a people that will surrender their lives to him. Not just on a Sunday morning, but on a Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. It's a life of pleasing unto our God. What if Abraham would have said, Father, I'll obey you today, but tomorrow I won't. We know Abraham and Sarah, the great foundations of the church. My God, yes, they made some few mistakes here or there, but who hasn't? But God came in and helped them and brought them back to a place where the promised son came in. And we know the other mistakes they've made, Abraham and Sarah. What about Ishmael? My God. Ishmael. You know, I know we've all heard on the news about what happened in Paris, France, huh? Sad stories, sad. We need God more than ever before. And not just a form of God. You know, people want God sometimes just in their own little box, and that's it, Lord. No. God needs to be God and move however he wants to move. We need the presence of the Spirit of God upon America like we've never had before. We need revival, Lord God, in our hearts and in our lives. Tragic things happen. Hundreds of people have lost their lives. We need to get back to the foundation of our country, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Letting him come and be evident. And the only way we can let that happen, it says in scriptures that who is the light of the world? We know the Father, the Son, the Lord. But it says that we, the church, Christians are the light of the world. We need to let that light shine. How can we let that light shine? As we surrender to him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, giving him the praise and honor that he so deserves. We are the light of the world. We're the light. If they don't see it in us, where will they see it? Jesus won't come walk on this earth again, as far as right now. He came once, did his mission of the Father, dying upon the cross, bringing that blood back to the Father, reconciling man back to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. Victory had been won. Now we are the light of the world. The Father, the Son lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So as we walk in the stores, as we walk in our community, as we go around doing our jobs, we are the light of the world. We can bring hope to this generation. I've never seen such hopelessness in all my days. I'm 50 years old. Such hopelessness. No hope. But you see, the only hope that we can have is in Him. And He's the only one that can give hope. The only one. The only one. So we have to be the channels, Lord, of surrendering our lives to Him and letting the light shine as we give hope. I don't know how many people I've talked to at work. I work for the post office on break, about just letting God be God. When there's no hope, I know the one that can bring hope. And I know you have too, as you're on your jobs and working and doing the things that need to be done throughout the day. As we bump into people and we start talking, they ask you what you're doing and where you're going and what's happening. You share about God. Because that's what's in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And we give that hope. God gave hope to Abraham. God gave hope to him. He gives hope to his people. He gives hope to his people. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 15. Look at verse 1, please. Genesis 15, verse 1. It says this: After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Oh my God, you should have shouted. You should have shouted there. Praise God, huh? Came to him in a vision. And you know, in back then in the Old Testament, especially in the Old Testament, and even part of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, visions were given a lot. Dreams and visions. And not that it can't happen today. And I know, hey, I've had dreams. I've had visions and things, you know, of God. And, you know, but the Holy Spirit's on the inside of us. He can speak to us today. The Holy Spirit is here roaming the earth. He lives inside of Christians as we accept him as Lord and Savior and abides in us. And it says that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, that he's on the side of us, comforting us, leading us and guiding us as the Father commissions him for us. You see how important we are to God? We're so important that the Father sent his only Son. My God. He could have held him back if he wanted to. But he didn't. He was moved by love towards humanity. He was moved by compassion towards humanity. He was moved by a compassion on the inside to see a lost people come back to him, reconciled back to him. It says, for God, and the famous scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. It says this: After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Fear not. As Christians, we don't have to fear. We reverence our God. We know all kinds of things are happening throughout the world, people. But we don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. And I don't say this haphazardly. But if they do take your life, you're in heaven. But life is very important. Christians are the most persecuted people in all the world. I've read stories, I've heard stories about Christians throughout the world that are tortured because of their Christianity. Oh, you won't hear it on the news so much. You won't hear it anywhere, but you can read the stories and you can find out. Even in America, Christians are persecuted because of their belief. Christians are persecuted because of what they stand for what the Bible says is right. Now, the only thing wrong is sometimes the ones that say that are Christian, sometimes they're not. Because what the Bible says is right for today was right in the past, and it's right for the future. It's right, no matter what. Now, man tries to divert that and say, well, you know, we have to evolve and we have to accept. No. That's not what the Bible says. I've been called narrow-minded. I've been called a bunch of stuff. But that's okay. Still love you. And I know what the Bible says. And I will not be liable for any soul in hell. I will put up the stop signs. I will stop as many as I can and preach the gospel. The Bible says that, and we know the last thing that passed, that homosexual marriage, gay marriage stuff, that is totally against God's word. You know, I was looking on the internet the other day. It was an interview with a great singer. Former Christian singer. I'll say former Christian singer. And he thinks he's still a Christian. And he may be for a certain part. But he was talking about gay marriage. And he said, can you be a Christian and still be gay? And I understand people struggle. People struggle. You know, people struggle with things. Everyone. That's why the whole, you know, don't let anybody tell you they don't struggle with something. Because they're lying. Because it's the Holy Spirit that has come to help us. And to give us strength to overcome those things through the power of the Holy Spirit as we trust in the Father and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. But he is gay. And he is looking into gay marriage. He left his family, his wife. He had 4 children. He sings great Christian music. And as I looked at that interview, I just wanted to cry because I knew what the word says. Say, no, I know you might struggle, but we can pray. We can call on the Father. We can look to the cross where God gave victory to every sin. And you might say, well, you know, why are you pointing that out? Because that's just what's passed and has been accepted. I never thought when I was young that I would be at 50 years of age that this would happen. Never thought that. Never. 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 But you see, when the truth of the gospel is not preached from this pulpit, and I'm talking about every pulpit in America, and philosophies are taught, and all kinds of other stuff, except the true living word of God, deception comes in. And the people start to believe lies. It's the word of God. It says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Oh my God. That means it divides to the ascending soul and spirit. That means it cuts. That means it keeps us straight. We got to make sure that we trust God. We surrender to Him. And let the Holy Spirit use us to touch this community, to touch this area, to touch whoever we come in contact for the kingdom of God. Because you see, there's many people we walk past that are hurting severely. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. And I'm not talking about just poor people. I know we often think, well, poor people. No. I'm talking about rich people too. I'm talking about anyone that we're just walking by the stores, we're walking by at even our workplace, we're walking by wherever we are, and they're hurting severely. Severely. And God is saying, come on, man, tell them about me. You might say, well, what if they reject you? We just got to tell them that Jesus is the only door. Not one of many, but the only door. As we surrender and let the Father pour out His Spirit upon this place, upon this area. I mean, look, this morning as we were singing, the presence of God came into this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you might say, well, you know, what is it? We want God. We desire Him in all aspects of who He is. Because let me tell you, I've been saved for a long time, 30-something years. Been to the woodshed many times with God. And Him doing things to me and saying, Joe, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Yesterday I got so mad at somebody. Look. Melendo knows this. Here I am walking with mail, you know. I'm not in the best parts of town here, okay? I'm into projects. But it doesn't, it's like I get used to it. It's like, okay, you just, and you love the people. But here you are, I'm walking to this house, and this lady opens the door, and this dog comes running out. I mean, it's only about this big, this long, and I didn't realize, but this dog had like a chain type thing hooked up to him, but it wasn't hooked up to anything, put it to you that way. Man, that dog came more, and I started kicking him, because man, he's barking, you know, I don't know this dog. Man, I'm looking for my spray to spray this thing. And I didn't see it's green, the chain kind of type. It wasn't a chain. It was one of those other things. It wraps around my leg. And I thought the dog was starting to bite me. Oh, my Lord, look. Kicking, yelling at that dog. Now, I don't curse. I don't do that. That's not in me. I don't do that stuff. But I was yelling. And all of a sudden, the lady runs out of her house. And man, look, I got mad. I said, woman, you need to take control of your dog. I said, this is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I didn't know it. Oh, and she said, I'm so sorry, man. And when I got to her box, I said, Lord, forgive me. I put her mail in there, you know, and they have one right here. And one, you know, it's next to each other. Put the mail in. When I went to the other one, I had a piece of mail that was hers. And I stopped. I said, Lord, forgive me. I should have sprayed that dog. I should have. And I took it and I said, ma'am, here you go. I said, I'm sorry I missed this piece of mail. But I want to ask you to forgive me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gotten mad. You know what she said? She said, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I forgive you. And when I turned, I said, that lady's a Christian. That's a sister of me. All of us. Huh. Now, I could have gotten mad at that dog. I could have cut his head off. But, no, you know, you just... Poor baby, yeah. When I see him next time, I'm going to have a treat for him. I'm going to treat him and I'm... Yeah, slam him down. Treat him and... No, don't do that. But you see, we all, you know, hey, look. But I thank the Lord. I said, Lord, that's the Holy Spirit in me. Because you see, when we do something and we don't ask forgiveness of it, it blocks what God wants to do in us. Just like Abraham. Man, he had to go to the father and ask forgiveness for what he tried to do to Pharaoh and all that stuff. That was his sister and that was really his wife. And Ishmael asks forgiveness, trying to bring the promised son by his own, by doing it himself and not the promised son. But you see, as we surrender to God, the Holy Spirit leashes out upon us and he shows us what's right and wrong. Praise God. We serve a loving God. Because you said, you know, we spank our kids because we love them, because we want to keep them on the right track. We discipline them however we need to discipline them. That's the same thing with God. He disciplines us and helps us to do what is right. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Thank you. Thank you. Don't forget the Thanksgiving community service today. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for today. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in this place, Lord God. And Father, we pray that your will be done. Your will be done. As we go on, as every head is bowed and every eye closed today, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, indicate to me so we can pray with you. And if you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise God. Father, we come before you, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that everyone that I know of, Lord God, knows you, Father. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would rest upon each and every one of us this day. Father, I thank you for who you are, Lord. Father, be with your people this day. Lord, encourage them and help them and be with them. Father, I pray that your anointing would rest upon their hearts and upon their lives, Lord God. Father, I pray that when they go out of this place, that everything they do, Lord God, everything they put their hands to do at work, at home, everywhere will flourish, Lord God, according to your righteousness, your love, and your spirit, Lord God. That, Father, your anointing would rest upon them, Lord. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory, Lord God, this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.